Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. And by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit DXEngineering.com/HamNation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 152. It's John Clemens' 90th birthday, and Gordo readies for field day. Good evening, everybody. It's Bob Heil, and we're here for Ham Nation. We've got a really neat show tonight. I'm happy to be back. I've been gone, and George has been gone, and Gordo's been gone. We've all been gone. Amanda, you're the only one that's been here. So how are you doing, Amanda? You doing okay? Got everything hooked up and going?
I do. And if you guys can see my shirt, it's been a year since the Royal Gorge Bridge had its fire. So just wanted to say we're still here. And I'm glad that there's no fires in Colorado this year.
Absolutely. All right. How you doing, George? You all right, buddy?
Oh, doing great, Bob. Finally got back home after all that traveling. And we missed you and Gordo last week. So glad to have y'all back with us this week.
We made it back. And Gordo, we're going to hear later on. You've got a great field day report. And then you're going to do some things about HamCom, but glad that you made it back okay. Everything all right out there? Weather's all right and all that good stuff in Costa Mesa?
Absolutely. In fact, HamCon weather was great. In fact, look at these scouts. Talk about Kids Day coming up this Saturday. Oh. Now, these are not all hams yet, but many of them, some of them passed their ham ticket as well. So Kids Day this Saturday, more to follow. Back to you, Bob.
Oh, right. Well, I know there's a lot of things going on this weekend, and you really want to get on the air because there's a lot of things going on, and especially 6 meters. Oh, boy, yeah. 6 meters has been great. So every day I've been back, and you've been working a lot of six out there, Gordo. It's been good to you.
I had a little bit of 6 operation at Plano, and the band was open, and that was neat from Texas because you could work both coasts. Back to you, Bob.
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting. I just wrote a note to my buddy Enzuro IRS, who's the kingpin VHFer of all time. This afternoon we were chatting, and it's different when I move from southern Illinois over here to almost Kansas and Oklahoma in the Ozarks. It's different, and this skip distance and everything, it really is very different, Gordon. I'm hearing a lot of different things, and it's all about the atmosphere, right?
It is. The ionosphere plays a great important part. And 6 meter tropo, you're right, the atmosphere.
Yeah, well, and George, did you have a mobile in that radio in that car that when you made that long drive you're going to tell us about, or did you have to listen to AM radio?
No, I didn't have a mobile. I actually flew out there and then had a rental car, and I should have made Ray give me a rig and an antenna to stick in it, but I didn't.
What? You were at the ICOM plant, and you had to come back without a radio? That's sacrilegious, George.
I know, Bob, but they watch those radios pretty close out there. You can't sneak out with one.
Yeah, but they could have loaned you one. Well, you should have went to an HRO or somebody, and they could have loaned you one, whatever. Oh. Go and call Tim Duffy. He could have shipped you one from DX Engineering overnight. You know about that deal.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Oh, well, we're going to get on with a great show tonight. One of the things we're going to kick off first before we hear all about the field day activity, I had a great time last week. If you've been watching the show, you know how much I love my little Mosley receiver that you see behind me a lot. It's over there. I've loved this little receiver. It's very unique, and I found the guy that designed it It was his creation, and he sold the rights and the design to Moseley, the antenna guys, John Clements. Go back and look at program number 129. Well, while I was there doing that video last October, which happened to be my birthday, October the 5th, I discovered that he didn't have a CM1 receiver.
Oh, wow.
And so I found one. I found a W0XEU Matt in St. Louis. I found him through W0HRO, one of my good buddies. And so we went to his home, and it just happened to be the day we picked to go there was his 90th birthday.
Wow.
And so we presented him a receiver, and here's the video. I am so thrilled about this, and I hope that you guys and gals enjoy this. It's a short video, but here's what happened to John Clemens on his 90th birthday. Now, keep in mind, it was a secret. He didn't know that we knew, so we had to sneak in to take the video, and I did that. I wanted him to tell about his generator. You'll hear all about it. Here we go. Roller, Brian, please. After a long search and the help of the St. Louis Repeater Club, I met John Clemens, W0BD, the creator of the Moseley CM1 receiver. During an interview that we did for Ham Nation program number 129, I learned that John no longer had one of his unique receivers. Since then, I had been searching for another CM1 that we could present John. I met up with Matt, W0XEU, who had a CM1. We worked out a deal and took it over to Ken, W0HRO, the ultimate collector and restorer of vintage gear. Ken is also very handy with a toothbrush and his crud cutter. But now he had a very special project to clean and restore a Moseley CM1 for its creator, John Clemens. About that time, I was contacted by John's wife, Joyce, and his daughter, Sarah. They were planning a surprise birthday party for John, his 90th. It was to happen on June the 7th, and that just so happened to be the date that I'd kind of held back that we'd go visit John. But this was going to be a surprise party. Well, we had it all together, Matt, Ken, Bob, and the CM1, but how were we going to get into the house with a camera? So I called John, telling him nothing about the party, and said, I want to interview you about your generator. He built a very, very cool generator. So here it is.
I built this generator. This is the fourth generation. I made four different models in succession. This is the last one that I built and sold, and I sold about 1,000 of those. Interestingly enough, I sold them internationally. I sold a number of them to the G. Simon Radio Company on Patpong Avenue in Thailand. And had another, sold a batch of them to a New York school district, and another batch of them to the Bonneville Power.
Years old. The dial looks kind of...
That is made from the CM1 dials. That's the exact same dial that is on the CM1. I bought the tooling from Moseley, and... A guy over in Highland, Illinois, did most of the machine work, and he made me a bunch of dials. I've still got some of the dial blanks.
How many of those did you build?
About 1,000.
But hey, we came here for a surprise birthday party, a 90th birthday party, and brought out lots of birthday cards and. John was really happy that day. A lot of gifts. And Matt came up with a really nice thing. He had John's call letters cut out in wood, W0BD. John really liked that. But the big prize was yet to come, so Ken went to the car and brought in this beautifully wrapped box. And what was in there was John's personal CM1.
And we were all excited to watch him open. And he kind of knew once he felt the weight of it. And it was just so much fun to see him be reunited with one of his great creations.
Oh,
it gives me great pleasure to be able to find some of these wonderful guys that have been the foundation of amateur radio that has guided mine and many, many lives. I'm really, really honored to meet and be a friend of John Clemens. And I personally want to thank Matt, Ken, John's wife Joyce, and his family for making this a very special day for all of us. So happy birthday, John Clemens. You're the best.
That
was a great day. I can't tell you guys and gals what a great day that was. And John was so thrilled, and he now has his CM1, and I know that he's been listening. You put up an antenna since we'd been there, and we'll hear more about that later, I'm sure. Well, right now we want to go hear from DX Engineering and their great chipping department and everything else they got going. Then we're going to hear about Field Day from the master of Field Day, Gordon West. So let's hear what's going on in Ohio that makes buying equipment a lot easier.
Hey, Field Day is almost here. It is not, however, too late to gear up with DX Engineering. Same-day shipping means that if you need something in a hurry, you'll get it in a hurry. DX Engineering will be able to get it to you ASAP. They've also introduced some new products to make Field Day just that much more awesome. Sometimes the hardest part of the whole Field Day thing is getting your antenna up. And that's why Rhone telescoping masts are such a great thing to have for Field Day. They make that job easier. They're available in heights up to 43 feet tall. You can find the size that is perfect for your application. Of course, they're durable steel. They're Rhone, for crying out loud. They'll handle heavier antennas, yet they are still compact and light enough to transport fairly easily. And yeah, they're pre-assembled. All the hardware's there makes setup and tear down go much quicker. And since you're probably putting your Field Day mast up in a remote area, you're going to want to guy it. These Rhone telescoping masts need to be bracketed or guyed. So DX Engineering carries guy rope from Mastrant. This rope is available in several strength ratings and lengths depending on the mast. So it's perfect for whatever your application is. It resists moisture and UV degradation, makes it perfect for outside use. It's easier to work with and a lot lighter than steel cable. It can also help you shed weight on your Field Day or hilltopping pack. Mastrant guyline can be used to support your wire antennas as well. It's good stuff. And speaking of wire antennas, when it comes time to hang yours, get yourself an Easy Hang Shot Kit. It's based on a familiar slingshot design, but specifically tailored to hanging wire antennas. That means you're not going to have to lug a ladder or a reach pole to your Field Day site. No more climbing trees either. Nobody wants to get hurt. Use your Easy Hang kit to launch your wire antenna over branches and overhangs. The weighted end gives you enough ballast to really let that thing fly. There's a padded tennis ball on the weight, which means you're not going to hurt the XYL if your aim is a little bit off. No one wants that. Easy Hang kit also has everything you need to hang your antenna, the line, the dispenser, the weights, everything. Now, slingshots aren't legal in all areas, so make sure you check your local codes before you order. And if you want to grab any of this gear, get your order in by 10 p.m. Eastern. If it's in stock, DX Engineering will put it on a truck headed your way tonight. Proven products, expert advice, the fastest shipping in the industry. DX Engineering helps you shrink the globe, especially for Field Day. Look at this catalog. It's right here. Get this thing online. You can shop 24/7 at dxengineering.com/hamnation. DX Engineering, thank you for your support of Ham Nation and making Field Day just that much more fun. DX Engineering, thank you.
All right. That's great. We love the fact that they can get it here like really quick, and I don't know how they do that. Gordon, we're getting ready for Field Day, and I know that you have already, you've got all of your ducks in a row, got all of your van loaded and the whole bit. Where are you headed, man? Let's hear about Field Day from the master, Gordon West.
Well, before Field Day, this Saturday, I'm headed to a miniature field. It's Ham Radio Outlet is having one of their ham jams. But most important, our emphasis this coming Saturday is going to be on kids. And this is Kids Day, June 21, and for Kids Day, Scotty Ward, KC3BHQ, says get those kids on the air, third party, and as you can see, we've got them on the air, whether it's going to be 10 gigahertz or if it's going to be HF or VHF, the whole idea, even have them putting together a DX Engineering beam we just brought in, kids are the best, and they are our future. If you have a ton of kids, you can also put them on FRS. It acts just like UHF. And if you've got kids and they've been watching Amateur Logic with George, they can learn how to solder. But the whole idea for Kids Day is get kids on the air this coming Saturday. They'll be on the air from Nome, Alaska, from Homer, Alaska. Also, they'll be on the air from Fort Washington Amateur Radio Club. They're going to be all over the place. So everybody, this coming Saturday, let's get those kids on the air. Because kids love ham radio, and we'll get them all licensed up, and we need more kids. Well, now let's talk about Field Day. This is my 50. Wow, a half a century. And here are some little hints that I always recommend. Those of you operating Field Day, we have Field Day Academy we did recently, where we bring in our Field Day operators and give them ideas to set up and how to set up. Here's a Field Day station down at the Golden Gate. And in our Field Day Academy, we have experts come in and talk about all different aspects of Field Day. Your site, are you going to have individual tents spread around with antennas near them, or are you going to all come together? This is the individual site. A Field Day talk-in station is always welcome, and have everything all planned out so we know where the folks will park, how they'll get in, that they won't trip over an antenna. This particular Field Day had individual operators, individual antennas spread out throughout that Centennial Regional Park. And it's great because they don't have QRM from anybody nearby, and they have their own shade. Be thinking about tents. They've got the Heil headsets. Be thinking about bringing along your headsets. They've got a computer, and because of the tent, they're able to read it. That's Chip K7JA. Orange County Amateur Radio Club, Ken. And notice he's got the band chart there. In the heat of Field Day, you never know exactly where you're operating. And there's Chuck on 10,000 megahertz. Remember, safety, don't be putting people in front of that transmitting dish antenna. So for Field Day operators, yep, headsets absolutely needed to keep down the noise. And the Heil headsets and all of the other headsets. And there is Ray, and Ray's getting ready for Field Day. And we don't know where he's going to operate, but he's always got a smile on his face, Ray with ICOM America. And CW always is the king at Field Day. There is a low power category, a portable category, 5 watts or less. So get out your LA craft and do a little CW. You can always count that whatever you bring on Field Day is going to get tangled. So that's Field Day. And we are going to be taking the ICOM 9100 because it shows up very well in the bright sunlight with that display. Now, here's another approach to Field Day, and that is have everybody together in the center where it says arena and all of your stuff, all of your antennas out in the background. So if we're all going to be together, have some nice sturdy tables, comfortable chairs. Make sure you have the tables covered up and make sure you have enough elbow room. But take a look. Here's a typical Field Day station where all the operators are not spread out but together. And their antennas then go out 360 degrees around. This is great for camaraderie. Look at that. We got all the chairs set up ready to have a Field Day. And electronic logging, just make sure there's enough shade so you can see the results as you work off those stations. Hey, it does come to be nighttime on Friday night for setup and Saturday night for all-night operations. So here you go, a light tower. Guess what? We discovered that those lights interfered with that antenna right above them. So don't think necessarily that a light tower is the best place to put an antenna. If you got a motorhome, sure, bring it, because a motorhome might hide a secret little Field Day fire. Here's our Ham Nation team. I'm not sure where they're doing Field Day. I think it's back in Dayton, but nobody knew they had the fire other than the smoke coming up. So if you're permitted fires, that's great. And Mike and Myrna, M squared, there's Myrna right the front there. And here's where all the operators are together. This is fun because when they make a contact, they blow a horn or ring a bell every time they make 10 or 20 or 30 contacts. But you see, it was getting night, so the LEDs from wired communications are a great way to illuminate your Field Day shack. They give you plenty of light. Don't use the dimmer. If you use a dimmer, the dimmer creates terrible HF noise. band charts. They are available from Kenwood, Yaesu, ICOM, Elinco. This is a plasticized one that comes from the W5YI group and Kenwood. Here is the ICOM band chart. And technicians, look, field day, if you decide to operate all by yourself, you can operate from 28,300 to 28,500 voice and literally work the world if the 10-meter band cooperates. It's always fun to have a Workdoll States maps, and you can put pins or little white stickers each time you work a new state. And have plenty of publicity. We want folks to come to field day. And here we go. We outdid ourselves. This is where I'm going to be, Bob, weekend after next in Costa Mesa. They call it Goat Hill. Notice the van on the left with a three-element beam, actually four-element beam on top coming out of the back of the van pole. You will get visits by the American Radio Relay League section managers and so on. So make sure and have someone that is going to take them around as Hal is doing here, introduce them to the different field day stations. Again, here's an operation where all the field day ops are together and the antennas are spread out as opposed to all over the place. Satellite, you got extra points for satellite, so get your best satellite operators and work some satellites. 12 volts, you got to have 12 volts for most of the gear. Make sure that the battery you're going to bring is up and that it's well charged and that it will not vent gas in an enclosed area. Solar panels, yes, bring your solar panels, but leave the regulators at home. Solar panel regulators make HF noise, and we can't have that at field day. If you're putting out too much current from the panel, get some more big deep cycle batteries and wire them professionally as we have here with fuses just in case. Look at this, a neat little field day setup that one of the radio operators brought a couple of years ago. So solar panels are in, but the solar regulators, the pulse width modulation regulators are noisy on HF. So you may want to leave them alone and leave them at home. Always monitor your voltage. There'll be a little fluctuation as you're talking or doing CW or data. Don't let it get below about 12 and a half volts. And that was an analog readout. Here is a digital readout from Ham Source. Not only monitors the voltage, but also the amount of current that you're sucking out of the battery. And yeah, you have some wire ties all over the place. Clip them off clean. Do not leave the sharp end of wire ties exposed where they could be at eye level. So always think of eye safety. Those of you with the Yaesu transceivers, the 817 and the 895, I forget. Anyway, it's the 890 whatever that they're no longer going to make. You can get an LDG big meter, plug it in the bottom, no mod necessary, and now you have the world's biggest S meter or AGC. Make sure your field day equipment is well grounded, as we use ground foil rather than round wire. Ground foil available. Headsets. There's the Heil headset. And there's George in 6BNI tuning in a station, getting ready for the field day opening. And for headsets, make sure you've got the right adapters just in case if you're going to one radio or another and one takes the big plug and the other one takes the small plug, got it wired. And there's Chip with a Heil headset working one of the big radios, one of the big ICOM radios. And he's getting ready for field day. He's got his log in there. This is the new set of headphones that we use, the Heil Pro Set 3. These are so unique because they're hi-fi. They won't even know you're listening to field day or music. But you can also unplug right there at the headset as well as at the radio. Bring the instruction manual for the radio. Now, wait a minute. Hold this slide. Look what's on top of the ICOM. That is an amplified DSP speaker. It is going to create nothing but problems for you at field day by an external amplified speaker or a local PA system because the RF from the nearby antennas is going to get into it and drive you nuts. Notice the black box on top of that radio. That's a battery buffer. That's lithium iron from, I spaced out. I can't remember, but it's aero antennas. Oh, God. Anyway, lithium iron. I'll think of it. This is the new battery technology that will buffer that radio so it's not going to warble if the voltage gets a little low. Agree ahead of time as to whether or not you're going to do paper logging or the more modern electronic logging, and have a little black hood so you can see the logging in the bright sunlight. Look at that radio. Boy, they're going to make some contacts there. And also be capable of having a computer or someone that will monitor via their super phone to see when band conditions are opening. Yeah, this is for 20 meters. I'd like to see this kind of chart for 6 meters this coming weekend after next. So let's hope for some good band openings. And the CW operators, you can tell they're ready to roll with that great LA Craft gear. Now, for those of you on digital, make sure you got the right DIN plugs and the right plugs to plug your digital links in. Here's the signal link, very popular. We found that by grounding the chassis will help minimize errant signals from accidentally causing your transceiver to transmit. Here it is, the amateur television, folks. That's Don. And the ATV is another area that gains extra points for field day. But again, I love my West Mountain radio, my BHI, my bi-noise-canceling speakers, but I don't take them to field day because neither can drown out all of the close RF from all the nearby antennas. Even these type of snap-on filters won't help you get rid of the noise coming through an amplifier. Now, if you're going to be flying a 160-meter balloon, you're going to need four of these tanks. One of these little H tanks is not going to do it. It won't even get those big balloons off the air. But you do four, and yahoo, you now have a great quarter-wave antenna for 160 meters. There's Chip and Janet, and yeah, field day food is very important. Just the smell of food and breakfast in the morning will keep those field day operators. So be thinking about who's going to be the chow hound. Well, there's George, I think that's your, I'm not sure whose dog that is, but he is chow hounding.
That's so
cute. But hams love chow, and make sure that you've got plenty of food to keep everybody rolling, because you're one happy cat after you have a nice full meal and you're ready to go back to 20 or 40 meters. There's Kevin and Pastor Jason, and make sure that you are wheelchair accessible at field day. Kevin is not only a great operator, he's also a volunteer examiner. And if you're thinking of doing VE exams, have your team ready. It takes three examiners, and field day is a great place to also offer examinations. And make sure you're setting up in an area where you're allowed, because if you're not, you may get a visit by the local constable and lifeguard crew to haul you away for operating. Well, it was okay on this particular beach. They just came by to see what in the world were we doing. Check it out ahead of time. Again, here's that noisemaker we found 2 years ago, and it really disturbed a lot of HF comms. So make sure that if you're using any type of regulation for those solar panels, that you make sure that they're absolutely quiet. Some of the field day test equipment is absolutely essential to have on hand. Leo, we will hear you on the air for field day. He's going to make every attempt to come up on field day with some of that great ICOM Gary has. And look at that, Don Arnold and Leo with Kenwood, the Kenwood Leo. And they're getting ready for field day at both ends of the country. And, of course, always be sure and respond with any QSL card that you may have. And by the way, Elk Antenna, ELK, they're the ones that are now handling that lithium iron battery, Elk Antennas out of California. So we hope that you'll get a ton of QSLs, maybe one in the upper right from the International Space Station or W1AW. Field day is an exciting time. And oh, yeah, you got to have fun at field day. So have a contest for the best field day helmet. Have a rig toss where you're chucking some old rigs, maybe 20 or 30 feet, see who wins. But field day, fun for all. And field day is going to be a terrific experience. But remember, this Saturday, Kids Day. So hope to see those kids on the air this coming Saturday, the 21st. So there you go, field day part one. Next week, we look at antennas, some antennas that didn't quite make it, others that stood tall throughout. And that's what we'll talk about next week, is your antenna setup for field day. So Bob, back to you, and we'll hear you all on the air this Saturday for Kids Day. Bob?
All right, Gordon, what a great compilation of wonderful things that happen at Field Day. And I can imagine if you're going to have some antennas, what you come up with, bed springs to motorcycle wheels, who knows? Well, we're going to head down to good old Mississippi and see what's going on. George is back home, and it's happening. So, George, how are you doing? It's glad to have you back, and I bet you that you had a great time, even though you didn't get to bring home a radio in your car.
Yeah, I had a fantastic time, Bob. I got a lot of videos. As a matter of fact, I've got video backlog now. We're just getting out our episode of Amateur Logic that we shot in Dayton. We had a lot of good stuff there this year, though, that we hadn't done before. We talked with some of the international visitors there from Germany, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, United Kingdom, Colombia, and even a few guys from the U.S. And we covered a lot of digital stuff this year, too, that we hadn't done in the past. The guys from Northwest Digital Radio were there, showing the universal digital radio that they've been working on for several years, and now that radio's got capabilities for an AMBI card, which is, you know, what you use with D-Star and some of these other digital modes that are coming out. Does APRS, WinLink, and they've got a Linux experimenter's kit for that too. And we talked with Jonathan Naylor, G4KLX, who a lot of D-Star guys will know. He's the guy who wrote the IRC DDB gateway software that's used by a lot of D-Star guys on repeaters and such that they homebrew. And Gus Van Doren, PE1PLM, the creator of the DV Mega. That's it's a D-Star rig, sort of like a DV dongle or a DVAP. It's built with an Arduino that you can plug into your computer and run, or you can run it off a Raspberry Pi. And we also talked with some guy there named Joe Eisenberg, N0NEB, and Joe's a good friend. He's a kit editor over at CQ Magazine, and he also worked in the kit building section of the latest ARRL handbook, so congratulations to Joe for that. But that's on the episode 67 of Amateur Logic, amateurlogic.tv, that we just released this past week. So go check that out. Gordo, you were talking about Field Day. Well, Tommy and I are planning on going off the grid again, way back in the woods and doing Field Day. You know, this is the time of year I've got a couple old radios back here on the shelf I call my backups that never get run. Well, I need to test them out this week and take those out and operate with them a little bit next week. But I'm planning on my main radio being my IC7000. I'm just going to take it out of the mobile and run it. And while I was at ICOM, I don't remember if it was in the chat room or if somebody sent Ray an email, but they said they would like to see some video of an IC7200 at Field Day. So Ray shipped one of those down here, and we're going to be operating that too. And we'll planning on plugging in that USB port on the back and connecting it to a computer and do some digital modes with that radio. So that'll be fun, too. And one other thing I'm going to take, I don't know if you mentioned it, Gordon. I could have missed it. But if you got one of these,
oh yeah,
you might want to bring that. That's your MFJ antenna analyzer. That'll help you make sure that antenna is tuned properly. And you can get out there and wiggle on those wires and such and maybe get it a little bit better. You wouldn't want to do that with the radio and SWR meter, though. Mm-hmm. So we're looking forward to a big Field Day down here. I don't know how hot it's going to be. Last time we did this, it was near 100 degrees. So I noticed somebody in the chat room said that Field Day feels like Christmas. Well, if you're down here in the South, Field Day feels like hell. So, you know, we want to circulate a petition to move it to a cooler time of year, but I doubt we'd get anywhere with that. But we're looking forward to a big event there. And, you know, last week I ran a little video there that I shot with Randy, K7AGE, while we were having a big time out at CPAC. And by the way, Bob and Gordo, everybody out there wanted to say hello to y'all and invite you to come back up again. They really missed you guys. But Randy has been working on this project for SSTV with his handy talkie. And this week, he finally got around to do some soldering. So let's take a look at that.
Hello, Randy, K7AGE, with another video for Ham Nation. In my last video, we did some planning for a sound card interface to go between my iPhone and an Icom V80 or T70 HD. Now let's do some soldering. Okay, I have everything together here. I've got the instructions for the kit, PC board layout. Okay, here's all the parts that comes with the kit. We saw the printed circuit board before. And as we saw from the other video, I'm going to mount the interface in an Altoids tent. And I've pre-drilled this. There's a couple holes in the bottom here for the circuit board. I've drilled some holes and put some grommets for the cables. And then I have some cables here. I'm taking the easy way out. I bought some jumper cables. This was an iPhone headphone extension that does have the four-circuit plug here, and it did have a socket. I've just cut that off. A wire stripper, a lead cutter, a pair of needle-nose pliers to help bend the leads, and a little screwdriver. I think that's about all I'll need. I do have one of these, and the old-timers will know what is. Okay, step one of the instructions is to mount two of the 1N4148 diodes. They're right here on the board, and you have to watch for the black line to line up with the little line that's on the circuit board here. And I just kind of placed the tip, I don't know if you're going to be able to see this, on the hole and the lead, and just put a little bit of solder, and you'll see it turn silver and kind of wick up the lead a little bit. And just do those four. And cut off the leads. Whoa, that one went flying. Okay, the next step is to mount two 2.2K quarter watt resistors. I typically align them with the writing on the board. Just a little bit of solder on the pad and the lead. I see it wick up. Okay, next step is to mount this 430-ohm resistor. 1N4001 diode. Install the optocoupler that's already placed on the board. C1 and C2, a couple little capacitors. Okay, next is to mount the two transformers and get the other one. Doesn't matter which way it goes in. Okay, well that completes putting everything on the board here, soldering all of that. So it was total three resistors, three diodes, two capacitors, an opto-isolator, and two transformers. And I've looked this over, and I'm basically happy with it. Okay, the next thing I'm going to do is make up my cable ends here. I got all my cables here that are going to go into the radio and the phone. What I'm going to do is strip off the outer insulation on each of these for about an inch, and then strip off the insulation on each one of the wires and pull the shield back. So got all my cables fabbed up here. I'm going to start with the 2.5 millimeter, and I need the white and the shield, but not the red wire. I'm going to get rid of the red wire. And that's going to board's going to sit in here like that, and that's going to connect to this upper side. So the number one thing to not forget to do the wire through the grommet. So this cable goes to the mic in.
that through. Remember, always
oh, no!
You get that on before you solder. This is the wire that I need the 47K ohm resistor to ground. Mount the resistor in the ground terminal here, and I'm going to put a little loop on it so I have some place to solder. The shield will go on the bottom, so let's get that in there. And I'm going to put the shield through the loop in the resistor. Okay, so I have that twisted around there. Now, I said the black wire goes on the top, which means the red wire will go down through the circuit board. Solder that. The black wire will go onto the top side of the resistor. So I'm just going to wrap that around the lead here a couple times and solder that on to the top of the resistor. And the last cable is the four-conductor one that goes over to the iPhone. So again, put that through the grommet. Okay, so the way this is going to work, the top pad up here will be the audio from the phone. So that's left and right, red and white wires. So those two wires will go into that hole. I'm going to treat the two center connections here as the commons. I'm going to put a piece of the cutoff lead across there for common joint. And this is the lead with audio to the iPhone for the microphone. So this is where I need another resistor. So I'm going to put a resistor in here standing up and then connect the cables. I'm going to cheat. I have two tin wires in parallel with each other. I'm not going to wrap them around. I don't know if you can see this. I'm just going to place them next to each other and heat them both up, and the solder flows and they're on. And we place this in here. Okay, so the board has some little cutouts here, and I'm just going to double check everything here. It looks like the wires are everything soldered, nothing loose, nothing shorted. If you guys ever had built a Heath kit, you remember what this little tool is for. It's a nut starter. You just press it down and it sticks in there, and you just hold it over the screw and you twist it and bang, there's your nut started. That will work. I'll come back and put some cable ties around the cables here so you don't pull on things. But I think that should work. Okay, so let's do a little quick demonstration. I have two of these interfaces here. This one's on my V80 going to the iPad. This one's on my T70 with the iPhone. I can say, let's take a picture of me, go to the front camera, hello, and tell it to use the photo. I just want to check the image here. It looks good. And go back here and tell it to transmit. Now, this will take about 70 seconds for it to come through. I'm listening to the audio. I'm an ID 51. I'm transmitting on 145.51, which is a slow scan frequency in the Sacramento, California area. So that's about all I have time for this video. We'll come back and look at these apps again. Again, this is the SSTV app for the iPhone by Black Cat Systems. And that's about all I have for today. So 73, and I'll turn the show back over to the Ham Nation gang. Randy, K7AGE.
That's great.
Great project there, Randy. Glad to see you got that going, and we look forward to learning more about those apps. You know, last week I asked the question, where in the world are Bob and Gordo? And what we're giving away here is a Diamond SRH77CA. It's a handy talkie whip that has an SMA connector on the end of it, perfect for most of the new handy talkies. And I had a winner on that. It was Brian, KI6ERR. And he said Bob is in Nashville and Gordo is in Plano. So congratulations, Brian. We'll be sending it out to you this week. Now for next week, you might notice I'm holding a microphone in my hand here. That's what we're giving away. It's the Heil HMM hand mic. And if you notice, it doesn't sound like a hand mic. Of course, it doesn't sound like this PR30 here, but you really wouldn't want that you know, as a hand mic. So this is Bob's new design here. It's a hand mic that actually has a little bit of bottom end to it. Sounds pretty good, too. I was quite impressed with it myself. If you'd like to win this, then answer this. There are condensers and dynamic. And what other type of hand mics are there? There's one other type I'm looking for, probably two. I'll take either one of those. But if you know the other type of hand mic that you might find for a rig, send your answer to me at hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you could be next week's lucky winner. So I'll turn it back to Bob now. And, Bob, I really like this little hand mic. It's been a lot of fun playing with it here.
George, that was great. And, Randy, magnificent stuff. Thanks very much for all your time to do all of this. We're going to go over and see what's going on at Newsline. So, Don, take her away.
From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 1922, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, June 18, 2014. The FCC has issued a report and order addressing some longstanding rules change requests. Bruce Tennant, K6PZW, has the Cliff Notes version.
In its decision, the FCC will make it a bit easier for hams whose license have expired to get back into the service. This by granting written examination credit for test elements 3 and 4 to holders of expired licenses that initially required passage of these elements. However, the regulatory agency will require former license holders whose lapsed licenses have gone past the 2-year renewal grace period to pass the element 2 technician class exam to get their licenses restored. The FCC has decided to continue the requirement that 3 volunteer examiners be present at amateur testing sessions. The agency had earlier proposed to drop that number down to 2 after noting that some applicants could not find a test session because it was not possible to find 3 volunteer examiners in some rural geographical areas. While the number of volunteer examinees will remain at 3, the FCC did offer some relief for those who cannot find a local exam session by approving the concept of allowing remote testing. The FCC has adopted an ARRL proposal to authorize certain types of time division multiple access, better known as TDMA emissions, for permanent use by radio amateurs.
So what does it all mean to Joe Average Ham? Well, if there's one guy who can boil it all down into everyday language, it's Gordon West, WB6NOA. Ralph Squillace, KK6ITB, caught up with him.
We asked West what he thought of several of the changes, starting with the reinstatement for those whose licenses had lapsed and who had not renewed them within the 2-year grace period.
We get maybe once every 2 weeks a call from a ham whose call license expired by more than 2 years. And after I talk with them, telling them they need to take 3 exams to get back to extra class, I never hear from them again. But now I'll be able to say 1 examination, element 2 technician class, and then you will be reinstated to either your general, advanced, or extra class license you once held.
And what about the requirement that those seeking license reinstatement outside the grace period be subject to taking a new technician class exam?
I think it's good that a reinstated ham would have to pass some sort of an examination. And element 2 is a good starting point because element 2 has a lot more rules and regulations that encompass the overall ham radio service.
We also asked WB6NOA for his thoughts on the FCC's decision to permit remote testing for candidates unable to attend a normal exam session in person.
I think our VE program, administered by VECs, is pretty darn tight. And I think that, especially up in Alaska, I think there are areas that we could monitor via teleconference to ensure exam integrity and get more hams passing the test and upgrading that we might not have had before because we couldn't get a three-member team to them.
There's a lot more to the story, and you'll find that in the full edition of this week's Amateur Radio Newsline report. The attendance numbers are in for Hamvention 2014. DARA Assistant General Chairman Jim Tiderman, N8IDS, says 24,873 people attended this year's Dayton Hamvention. The 2013 number was 24,542, so a net increase of a few hundred, way up from 2008 when just over 17,000 attended. As the world's economy improves, so does the number of visitors to the Dayton Hamvention, and that is good news for everyone concerned. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news brought to you each and every week for over 35 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW 73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation.
All right, Don, you're something. And we miss you when you're live, buddy. I know that that you're out with your wife because I think it's your anniversary, so terrific. We appreciate you doing all the recordings while you're out having fun with your family. So thanks so very much. I really appreciate that. Well, we have a nice word from ICOM, and let's see what they've got cooking that's new.
ICOM America and ICOM Canada are teaming up to offer ham radio operators some incredible savings. You can get a great deal on a D-Star repeater direct from ICOM and help expand D-Star across North America. For a limited time, ICOM is offering a buy direct D-Star promotion for U.S. and Canadian residents. Purchase a D-Star repeater through the D-Star infrastructure program. The growth of D-Star over the past 4 years has been incredible with the release of the ID-51A and the IC-7100. More people are getting on the air with this incredible mode. In response to the request to make the infrastructure more affordable, ICOM America and ICOM Canada are teaming up to expand the number of repeaters. Hurry. This buy direct promotion is good for a limited time. Download the mail order form, fill it out, and send it in by mail, fax, or email today. Find out what all the D-Star fun is about. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's buy direct program.
And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation and register there to get in on the great swag prizes from ICOMSwagStore.com. And you'll also be registered to win a grand prize each month, which is a radio. And for June, it's going to be the ID-880H. It's the D-Star mobile that I use. Of course, it's a FM radio as well. VHF and UHF, 50 watts of power on both bands, a great all-around rig, and an economical way to get into D-Star. So go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation after this show and after each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. And now I think we need to go with Gordo. He's got an urgent report here from HamCom.
I do. And Plano was great. But before, if you had an expired advanced license, nope, you go to general. There'll be no new advanced licenses issued for expired licensees. So general for general, extra for extra. But you do need to take element two to get back into ham radio. Sorry, advanced operators, you'll go only as high as general class. All right, Plano, Texas. Let's tune in and see what's happening to the Plano team. We had a great booth at the W5YI group, and we saw tons of ham radio instructors. In fact, we saw Ricky, KB5ZMY. He was there in the swap meet. There was some neat stuff. Plano goes all out to bring both new exhibitors, old exhibitors, and plenty of folks that had stuff that they wanted to find a new home. And let me tell you, since that show opened Friday morning, it was packed like this throughout the day. In fact, to see some of the commercial exhibitors, you had to get there bright and early, standing room only, in front of the quality MFJ gear. It was fun to see all of the new stuff that MFJ is always coming up with. And I tell you, Plano had a wonderful facility. Look at those overhead lights. I mean, it was great at the convention center. Hey, you get your picture with ARRL original founders. They had a little poster that you could stand next to. The league is celebrating 100 years, and the W5YI group and Larry and Peter and I will be back there to see you next month. So see you at the Centennial 100. And the ARRL was a packed booth. Everybody wants to go back there and enjoy the convention. And we had a lot of kids, and the kids are going to be great ham radio operators. There was plenty of examinations under the W5YI group. Those teams turned around not only the applicants passing, but turned around call letters 24 hours, sometimes as little as 8 hours after the exam was over. And the outside swap meet, this is before things got going. This is like 7 o'clock in the morning, and they were setting up Fast and Furious. The weather was not bad in Plano. And let me tell you, there were some exquisite deals. I mean, ICOM transceivers, Kenwood, Yaesu, Elinco, going for literally pennies on the dollar. It was amazing, some of the deals at the Plano HamFest HamCon. So I hope all of you, if you get a chance next year, will take in Plano, Texas, because they are friendly. The HamFest was so well organized. The weather was terrific. And best of all, they really played to kids. And we're going to be hearing these kind of kids on the air this coming Saturday, the 21st. So I look forward to seeing all of you in on the air this Saturday. And Bob, I'll now turn it back to you and see everybody on the air this Saturday, 73 from Gordo.
Okay, Gordo, I know you had a good time, and that's the best thing, is having a great time. And Plano's a terrific ham fest. That's really fun. Well, we're going to go see what's happening in the chat room. Amanda's been out there watching it all. So, Amanda, take it over, and it's really nice to see and hear you tonight.
Thank you. It's really nice to hear me, too. I'm actually pretty proud about that tonight. Hi. Anyhow, boy, Gordo, I got a lot of questions for you about field day stuff. And I think that maybe some of this you're going to address next week, but I'll just send you the questions. You let me know if you're going to cover it next week. So, first one, I go to field day every year, and the CW station always wipes out our phone station. Is there anything we can do about it? We're using 40-meter dipoles, you know, maybe 50 to 75 feet away. Anything we can do to stop that from happening?
Yes, tell one station or the other station, don't transmit when I'm trying to listen. No,
That's right.
A tough one, and we're going to talk about that next week. We're going to talk about band pass filters. We're going to talk about cavity-type filters for the higher bands, and we're going to talk about you put your antenna 300 feet that way, and I'll put mine 200 feet that way, and it might survive with a quality set of rigs like ICOM America makes with all their roofing filters. Back to you, Amanda, next week on that one.
That sounds good, and I look forward to that. One more filter question. Is there anything you need to do to filter out generator noise to your rig on field day?
All right. If the generator noise is coming in through the line, yes, there are AC line filters, which I made a note and we'll talk about next week. If it's just acoustic noise on the generator, get a good high-L noise-canceling headset and you'll be set. But it's probably line noise. Normally, generators don't have much line noise. I try and always run my rigs on 12 volts DC and let the generator AC charge via a very transformer quiet power supply down to 12 volts charging, and now I've got a quiet station.
Very good. Thank you, Gordo, for your info, and I really look forward to next week's information as well. With that, we did find out what the handy red tool was, a nut starter there. Thank you, Randy, K7AGE, by the way, for your video. A lot of people really liked it.
Yeah.
I really liked the music. I was definitely getting into it. Okay. Let's see. I've got some questions, Mr. Oh, speaking of the Heil headsets, I got to tell you guys from experience, this is the first time I ever used one was this last weekend at the VHF contest. And I think it should be a requirement for contesting now. It was just the most amazing thing. I never really thought it would help that much. I thought, no, I can't wear headphones. I got to be able to hear all the surrounding. No, don't listen to anybody. Just get one. It's really, it's the best thing in the world. Thank you, Bob, for that. So, Bob, I have another question for you. We saw the demonstration of your hand mic tonight. So people are interested. Is it available now on your website? And also, how much is it?
Oh, certainly. DX Engineering has them.
I love that.
Wow, look at that headset.
Yeah. Oh,
and, whoa, look at that.
Talking about headsets, wait till you see what's coming around. You guys are the first to ever see this at my videos. We have a new headset that's going to be outrageous, and it's about time. So stand back and wait a month or two, and you'll see what's happening. It's pretty good.
Thank you, Bob, and I'm in love. Oh, that's awesome. Pink. Okay. Let's see, George. Nice to hear you tonight, George. I'm glad you had a great trip. We all missed you very much. I do have one question for you. Is there any way to test your field day antenna without an antenna analyzer? Sorry, Gordo. I got to give George something here.
Sure. Just use a SWR meter and a rig on low power. You know, most newer HF rigs have an SWR meter built right in them. So you can look at it with that and see what you got. It's that works okay, but if you got an analyzer, it's just a little more convenient.
Absolutely. Okay, that's just about all the questions I had tonight. I really appreciate everybody chatting tonight. Everyone is really looking forward to field day, by the way. And, one more thing. Bob, you did make some people cry. That was a great video. Great birthday present. That was the sweetest thing ever.
Yeah. That was great.
Well, thank you. That was a very special time, and I really enjoyed being there with John and his family and bringing all of that to you. And, if you don't like pink, we'll have black, blue, whatever. And this thing is amazing. It's been about 2 years in production. I'll have you a full story on it, but look out. There's really a neat thing coming down the pike for headsets, and we're excited about it. Well, as I said, it took 2 years to do it. Thanks, everybody, for tonight. It's been a great night, and we will see you all back here next week. Don't forget the Kids' Day this weekend. It's very important. So same time next week, we'll all try to get things back together and see you here on Ham Nation. And thanks to Leo and all of the Twit people back in Petaluma. Bye-bye for now. This is K9EID.
Roger that.